welcome to the Vandal Factory podcast. My name's Natalie Quatermass.
I'm Henry Raby.
And together we are
Vandal Factory.
And this is a factory floor cut, so regular listeners will know that the Vandal Factory podcast that we release every month has a little bit of everything in. We've got some bangers in there. We've got interviews with artists and activists. We like to put some poetry and lots of different pieces. It's a smorgasbord of arts and activism.
Nom, 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 nom.
But it wasn't enough. So we created Factory Floor Cuts, and that's what this episode is. Henry, what's Factory Floor Cuts?
It's a chance for us to spread our wings, open up, have longer, chewier, more deeper conversations with artists and activists across Leeds and beyond.
And this is a very special episode. We are doing something that we've not done before, which is we've got a whole gang in the studio. Say hello, whole gang.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
The studio here at Chapel FM Arts Centre is absolutely crammed with a bunch of photographers. Now, I looked up what you call a collective of photographers, and it's a crew of photographers.
Which I think suits you really well, don't you think? I think that's amazing. Not just any photographers, though. These photographers have been documenting and making incredible pieces out of the Leeds Palestine Solidarity campaigns, marches that have happened every single Saturday, particularly since October 2023. So we owe a great debt of gratitude to all of you because it's such an important job. And they're all looking all embarrassed now.
These images have, I mean, they capture the spirit of these demonstrations. They capture emotions and moments and faces and anger and love and hope and rage.
Yeah, and particularly at a time when we aren't seeing the resistance reported in the mainstream media, and it's very difficult to keep telling the story that there are thousands of, tens of thousands, or hundreds of thousands, of millions of people out on the streets resisting and saying that this isn't how we want our taxpayers' money to be spent, and saying that we want a free Palestine. And you do an amazing job to come and document it week in, week out, and talk about it. So without further ado, we just thought it would be amazing to, after, over 6 months, which is devastating in such in so many ways, that we have to keep going and we're still doing this. But there's always a silver lining. There's always hope in these dark times. And the community and the people that we're meeting through doing this week in, week out is absolutely one of the strengths, and something we'll keep taking from that. So we continue to champion you and bring you all together, because I've seen all your work. I've marched alongside you week in, week out.
We've been photographed by you.
Yeah. And if you don't photograph us, Henry gets very upset.
We're checking
up. Very upset.
Saturday afternoon, Sunday morning, Monday morning, we're like, come on. Yeah. I pulled some great poses.
So without further ado, we'll let you introduce yourselves. So let's go around so that everyone's heard you. Tell us your name. What's your name? Where'd you come from? And maybe what do you do when you're not behind the camera?
And where can we find your photography? Listeners, you should get on your Instagrams and look up these people, follow them while they're talking. You can see their photos as we chat. That's a novel idea.
Hi, guys. Milo from IMD Milo on Instagram. I'm one of the press photojournalists who's been kind of following the protests for since October of last year, so running around taking many snaps, often of you guys, but covering everything from being in Leeds to London to Manchester and then further around. So IMD Milo, and when I'm not taking pictures for protests, I'm taking pictures for work, because my job is a photographer, so I do double photography. So I can never ever escape it.
So I'm Chola, and my art is Chola and her camera. I do freelance photography, and I also like work part-time customer service. It's a KHOLA and her camera. So I used to have a Nintendo DSi back in the days. That was like my first official camera. And I had to take selfies off my nostrils, like nostril shots. And I had to draw like LOL. So lol, but my two nostrils were the O's. So creative. great way to get into photography, guys.
Hi, I'm Rachel, and you can find me on Instagram at RachelO'Leary_. Pretty simple. Not as fancy as Koala over here.
Oh, get out.
Koala. So my sister actually did, she was the one that did photography at university, not me. and then she gave it up because she didn't like it. So she gave me, I think she gave me one of her cameras. But it's, yeah. But we always had, like, film cameras when we were little. Like, my dad were always recording, and we've got tons of, like, film, because he didn't have digital then when we were little.
I'm Smeya, and my at is Smeya Shafi. It's SumayaYa, and then Shafi. So I've always been fascinated by it as a teenager, as a kid. I first got my first camera when I was 14. It was a Fujifilm mini, like one of them CyberShot cameras. And then similarly to Rachel, I actually got into photography because of my sister. So then I studied it at university and college and took it from there.
Okay, hi, I'm Tammy. My Instagram is Tammy Shafi, that's TammyShafi. So I've been into photography since I was about 15. It was a hobby, and then I studied it as an A-level. We set up a business together. And
I am learning. This is new. What's the name of your business?
Iconic Shots. So it's EYECONIC.shots, SHOTS. That's on Instagram as well. Yeah, and then we took it from there, and then we was in the game for a while. About 5 years ago, I took a break, stopped photography completely, didn't really pay much attention to it, and then I came back into it because of Palestine.
Ah, great. Well, that takes us brilliantly onto our next question, which is, what was it that drew you all towards... I know I'm going to... presume I know the reasons why we're all out marching, and there's various, we've done months and months of recording about Palestine on the Vandal Factory radio show. So if anyone is listening right now and going, why are they referring to Palestine? What has been going on? Go and check out the other, the Palestine Solidarity Special in particular. We'll talk you through everything that's going on. But what was it that brought you to the march and the decision to document it and to photograph it?
What made me get into do the photography? I think I was trying to figure out a way on how I can, because I've always been kind of, from very young, I can remember I was attending protests to do with Palestine, because my family are very big on activism. This is my way of kind of doing my part for Palestine, and you know, I think a lot of the world is still silent, and I struggle with that. And I think documenting it kind of educates people in a way, and that's my way of educating people on what, you know, Palestine and how it's so important.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. I think movements and any social justice movement grows and are successful when you've got this wide web of people who've all got different backgrounds and skills, and they're all contributing their skills. So when people have gone, what have I got and how can I contribute that? And they're not just turning up, I don't know, empty, but they're going, what can I give of myself to this movement? And then it's that whole web that is all pulling together in the same direction. That's what keeps it going, I think.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
Like, that's why I say thank you to all of you, because I think we're doing something in Leeds that is really incredible, and I know it's happening in other cities, and I'm biased, but like, I think I'm just so, I hope one day, like, we've freed Palestine. It's happened, right? We're sitting on our deck chairs, like, rocking back and forth, being like, isn't it great that Palestine is free? And we'll look back on these times and be like, look what we did. Look at the stories. Look at the people. Look at the faces. Look at the children. Look at what the places, that the friendships, like, look at it here, it's happening. And I don't think we would have that if it wasn't for all of you turning up week in, week out.
I agree. For me personally, when I started kind of getting into photographing the Palestine stuff, I'd already been photographing other protests like Extinction Rebellion, you know, various youth movements. But I was seeing every week when I was looking on social media, I was seeing these like posts about these Palestine marches, about, you know, thousands of people coming out on the streets saying, you know, we want to make a difference, we want to make a change. But then when I was looking at the news, or I was looking in the newspapers, I was just seeing nothing of it. There was no cut through. Some of the big London marches might get a tiny little splash in the newspaper or something like that, but it was nothing compared to what I was seeing kind of organically through social media. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I want to go out and make sure that at least someone from the media is kind of documenting stuff in some form of way, that I know at least I'm kind of doing what I can to push stuff out. And I think every one of us is kind of always trying to signal boost and try and get the message out to as many people as possible through not only our followers, but through like accounts that work in both the Palestine community and further afield of the activism that people are doing.
So for me, it was during A-level. Year 11/A-level. So my friends are quite pro-Pali. I remember one time she came into school with the Free Palestine flag on her wrist, and they literally made her take it off. This was the day after they went to a Loki concert. I had no idea who I was. Like, who's? I'm like, what does Loki mean? Like, as in Loki, or like, do you mean Loki a guy? And then from there, that's when I started learning about it. But when you're young, you're still a bit dumb in it. So I was like, I'm just gonna be a bit delulu for a bit longer.
There's a lot of bad things happening in the world. So you know, I get that we filter out a lot of places. If you don't have a specific connection with it, I get why people kind of go, oh, well, it's easy to go, well, that's a bad thing happening somewhere else that has no connection to me. I understand that it takes a while to, like, build up the connection between, like, us here in this country and why we're responsible for Palestinians.
Yeah, but with my uncle, because he was quite pro-Pali, so I remember, like, he'd always talk about it, and I'm like, what does this even mean? Because back when I was younger, I didn't really care about news. It was all about Cartoon Network, Spy, what was it called? Kim Possible, and, you know, all them ones. That's all I cared about. But then as you grow older, you kind of, like, realise the world ain't as animated as you think it is. Like, people are literally getting murdered for living and whatnot. But, so I think that's when I actually started, like, noticing. And then it was in A-level I did art. I can't draw anymore. That skill's gone out the window. But I centred my topic around Palestine and Banksy. And I fully thought they were going to give me, like, an F, because I'm like, they're gonna ruin my life, because we all know what the Western education thinks about Palestine and Palestinians. But I was like, you know what? If they do, I'm going to at them. Like, me and we're going to fight in the street with my little hands. Let's do it. But yeah, I chat a lot of nonsense. But then I got into it. I miraculously got a B. The drawing was really bad. I saw it the other day and I was like, I thought this was art. It wasn't art. It was like a baby with a crayon. And I was like, all right, B it is. But then onward, I kind of became more invested, but still wasn't fully invested because I was being delulu. And then I think over the years, you, like, as you grow older, you realize more and more that, hang on, like, this is literally like life. Like, that's literally someone's life, and they're getting murdered for being Palestinian. Obviously, as a Muslim, you get targeted. But then when you're seeing other brown people, they're getting targeted and labelled as terrorists. And it's like, that's not the narrative. Like, because Western media just literally shifts the blame on us guys. And I'm like, bruh, like, I got a cat. Me and my cat are homies. We wouldn't hurt a fly. Well, he might. I won't. But, you know, like, you can't be doing these things. And then, I went to a protest, the London protest in Palestine. I think it was during COVID as well. We got a coach, and that was my first London protest I've been to ever. My camera died on the way to the protest. This was back when I was Canon. This is why I don't have Canon anymore. Sony,
excuse you. Excuse you.
The exit's there.
You're Canon as well.
How dare you? Yeah.
So am I, but I'm Sony too. So.
The door's right
there. I'm a hybrid.
Come on, Canon gang.
Boo.
I don't discriminate.
Hold me back.
Unless you're Nikon.
Hold me back.
Nikon don't have a space here.
Not Israel versus Palestine. Now we've got this.
Did a little shift, did we? But Yeah, so my Canon died, and then I recorded the entire thing on my S. I think it was my S8. Bad quality, but I turned up. The vibe was crazy. And then I also went to the BLM. There was a BLM march as well that I went to during COVID. It was literally that. But then I think everything, like you were saying, it kind of died down again, didn't it?
Yeah.
Like, as sad as it sounds, it did, because we all were like, all right, Delulu, back to Delulu. But then I think ever since October, because it's just been non-stop, like, you just can't separate yourself from it. So picking up a camera and actually, like, recording and documenting is our way of saying we were there, we saw what happened, people are turning up of all ethnicities, all faiths.
I have openly admitted I was so ignorant. I did not know anything before. And then my friend Alice invited me and my sister to one of the protests. It was the one on Brigitte, I think, the really, really big one when we marched to BBC. And because I've got ADHD, I don't do crowds. I'm very thinny, so my sister was like, well, why don't you take your camera? You're always happiest when you've got your camera. So I took my camera, and I don't know how it went from there, but it went from being in the crowd, just like, hiding when I'm taking pictures of people, like, taking it. And then all of a sudden, I were like, with you guys at the front, like, after a couple of weeks, and I don't know how it happened. I really don't, but wow. I didn't take photos of people. Well, not people, but, like, is it classed as street photography in that type of way? Like, without, how can I put it? Like, mine's always been, like, places, like, when I go visit places, never of people doing things like that.
Ah, so you've done more landscape stuff?
Yeah, that's what I always used to, just for Instagram, like.
Yeah.
Then, but then, yeah, now I've got thousands and thousands of photos of people on my phone.
Wow.
But, yeah. So my answer's probably different.
So it's
a baptism
of fire, really.
Yeah,
so
it's completely changed me as a person.
Go on, tell us more about that. How has it changed
I just didn't know. And I openly admit, I'm not going to be like, oh, yeah, I definitely knew. Because if I did know, I would have done more than before October. But
you don't know what you don't know, do you?
No.
And then
no.
You do know, and then look, you couldn't be more committed. So it's no, there's no shame in it.
That's me done.
But no, tell us, you say it's completely changed you as a person. How? Tell us a bit more about that.
Like, things that I cared about before, I don't, it's pointless. Mm. Because what is the point when people are dying for no fault of their own? So little things that you used to care about, I just don't care about anymore. Like, yeah.
So I've always sort of been, I'd like to think I've always been proactive with, especially with the stuff going on in Palestine since I was about 11. So I think the first protest I remember was about 11 years old, and it was for Gaza. And so that would have been 2008. And to think, like, how long ago that was, and I was only 11 years old. I'm 26 now. Oh, God, I'm bad at maths, but yeah, it's a long time. It's a long time. And so I've always, like, I've been there from, I'd like to think, from a very long time from the start, even though it's been going on for longer than that, since before I was even born. But so I remember, like, being very proactive with it from being a child, and then even, like, speaking about it in school. And I think it's basically been a part of my, like, life, I guess. And then I think in regards to the photography stuff, I think when I started getting into photography, I remember one of the first marches that I went to with my camera was 2014. And, like, yeah, I went to one of the London protests, and I just, like, was just shooting. And I remember just feeling like I was doing my bit in ways that I could express myself through my camera, because I struggle to do that with my words, or, you know, vocally, as you can tell, I'm kind of stuttering. But I never really stopped, and I don't want to say this has become, like, a hype, or, you know, because every few years it, like, the breakout happens, and, you know, people start protesting, and then it stops suddenly. So I feel like this time it's really been, like, taken seriously, even through myself, where I've taken boycotting more seriously. I literally, like, sometimes I go into work and I don't see the point, and I'm like, why am I here? Like, what's the point of doing all this? And like Rachel says, like, I see things differently. Like, I don't have that attachment to a lot of things the way I used to. And I think that's important, especially in this, like, capitalist society, you know. So, yeah, I think the photography side, it's helped me do my bit the way I can. And I think, like you said, everyone has their duty through their skills. I think it's important to use that and utilise it. Yeah. So.
That was actually pretty sick.
That was very that good. Was
oh, thank you. I'm blushing.
What are you looking for practically when you are at the demonstrations? Are you trying to capture faces, emotions, moments, action shots? What are you there? Or have you tried different things week by week? One week you might look for something specific. Another week you're focusing on families. What are you practically doing when you're on these demos?
Sorry, guys. Flags. I love the flags because, like, you have, you know, before, like, if you were out with a kaffir or a Palestinian flag, people would give you dirty looks. But now it's like, I see, like, a white man wearing a kaffir and I'm like, my G, like, he's one of us. And it kind of makes you happy because it's like, you have morals, you have a heart. Like, you actually care about people dying. Do you know what I mean? So, for me, I love seeing, like, different ethnicities, like, repping Palestinian things or, like, ethnic things in general. I try not to get faces, but recently, like, I like people's expressive faces and I'm like, you look angry. Let me just capture that for a hot second. And, yeah, flags, kaffirs, pets. Your little pet series was actually kind of sick.
What?
You know, you have your little pets every week. You find the little pets with the
dogs of Palestine. That's my friend that set me out on that, though.
I love that.
When she couldn't come to some at Leeds, it's like, where's the pets? So now I just take pictures of her, send them all in, like, one mass thing on Instagram to her, which you'll all know, Harry's Hop Squad. So I just find animals for...
I think we should give an honourable shout-out to Harry's Hop Squad.
Yeah, absolutely.
For people listening who don't know, Rach, can you tell us...
Yes, she came as the bunny. She came as a bunny a couple of weeks ago. But I don't know, I can't say. She's just incredible.
Instagram account that solely revolves around our friend's bunny, pet, and it's the hashtag no bunny wants a genocide. So it's sort of doing like cutesy stuff that, like, as you say, the people who want to go to Instagram for the pets... And you're like, oh, well, now we're going to shove your feed full of this other stuff that you need to care about, right? We're gonna play the algorithm game. Like, if we need to be cutesy, then we'll give you cutesy and we'll take the pictures of the dogs on the marches and then we're just going to give you the politics, like, on the sly. And you'll give it that little like and then you'll get the real stuff coming soon.
For me, it's about getting accurate documentation of kind of what's going on in any one moment, because sometimes you can take pictures that maybe that look really cool, but they don't actually reflect what's happened. And I definitely, for the stuff that I do, I kind of go more towards the news sort of stuff and trying to accurately portray what's going on. So I'm looking for those little moments that kind of one picture that can, if it was including the newspaper or whatever, can kind of show the whole mood of what happened. You know, people always say that, you know, a picture's worth 1,000 words or whatever. It's all about trying to find that one moment that you can really show off.
And that must be so hard. Like, as a person who's, like, in it, and often, particularly if I'm speaking or it's been a thing that I've, like, tried to do a lot of, like, curating for, so your adrenaline is pumping and all of you must feel that, like, every single week if you're, like... in it, you're buzzing, and I come away like, what was that? What was happening? And I, like, we need to go home. We have had, our routine is 2 Guinnesses and a curry after the protests as we come home and, like, and process it and was like, and what happened? And when did this happen? And then who said that? And what went on? And it's almost like your brain just needs, like, the same amount of time again to, like, process all that information. And that's another reason why your photographs are really helpful, because I'd be like, was I there? What happened? Oh yeah, and then
that's
that thing happened.
Yeah. Well, it's really funny you say that, because I'm not sure that you guys will feel the same, but as a photographer, I often feel that a lot. Like, I'll be running around taking pictures in the heat of the moment, and then when I come into editing, maybe, like, you know, a couple of hours later, I'm like, I don't even remember taking this shot. I don't even remember this thing happening.
I get feet pictures all the time, and I'm like, what am I foot doing there?
Oh yeah, when you accidentally press it.
What's going on there?
Go on.
See, I were gonna say when I do it, which you guys know, I will literally go home, choose a select few of my favourites, and then I won't look at my photos for like 2 days later. Like, it's posted, done, what, Saturday evening, wham, bam, done, and then I will not look at my photos for,
you
like, 2 days.
You get the award for being the fastest up on Instagram.
You're so fast.
Absolutely. Every week.
Flash O'Leary.
Flash O'Leary.
Flash O'Leary.
I think that's because if I didn't do that, I would not look at my phone for, like, 2 days of photos.
Right, I mean, so you've got to do it while it's in your head.
So while it's in my head, and then it really is.
I'm looking at Henry like, sounds like you.
Yeah. He's like, gay.
Yeah. I'm looking at your pictures while I'm importing mine to the living Lightroom.
Yeah. I'm not even there. I'm like, oh, wait, you're editing right now? Yeah. I'm still walking outside.
I kind of do a bit of both. So I do photography and videography. So I switch between taking photos and videography, but when I'm doing, I think when I'm doing my videography, I look for emotion, particularly emotion, and I like how every week there's a new chant, and you know that kind of, it's an inspiration, because especially the one that you did.
What?
That was my favourite chant.
The listeners at home, she's pointing at yours truly.
Thank you very much.
Go on, which one?
But yeah, there's a new chant. I don't do that.
She gave me such a dirty look. I all felt it.
But yeah, like every week there's a new chant, and I think I look forward to hearing what the chant is, and when I'm recording, like, I don't, when I go home and I go through my footage, I look through it and I'm just like, where was I holding my camera to? But like, yeah, with photos as well, it's kind of similar, but I try and get, my thing is emotion. I like capturing emotion because I think it's important that, you know, we have Rishi Sunak out here saying that British people don't care, but British people do care. Mm-hmm. Like,
who's we?
Yeah, who is we?
In life.
Because obviously.
And the emotion is very different every week, right?
It is.
And it's really hard to predict, like, where it's going to be on that rage. And obviously, it's not all the same for everyone. And there's always, like, a range of people going through. I tried to speak about this, actually, at the couple of weeks ago at the flight of Gaza, but the counter-protest was like shouting, and so it was kind of like not a good time to talk about our emotional well-being while someone's like countering you. But I was trying to talk about like how everyone who's connected to this genocide is going through a grief cycle of like the horror and despair and the like. I know everyone who goes to that march has been in the fetal position crying into their pillow at some point. And so you know that when you kind of connect with people, when you talk to each other, or you might have someone who's like then gone into rage and they're like, ah, and they're like, so I think you wrote something, Tammy, didn't you, on Facebook, and I was like on Instagram, and I completely could relate, like the just how dare this still be going on, and this like physical rage, and then that can't live in you for very long until it turns into action and doing something and picking up your camera or going to a march or getting busy and organizing, connecting with people, and then it turns into action, and then I just feel like I've fallen in love with this like group of people who I just get, there's so much humanity and possibility, and it's like we're creating this world that we want to live in, and it feels really powerful in these pockets of events or fundraisers or cultural moments or marches or at the uni or wherever it is. And then I feel like hopeful, like we're powerful, and you feel that, and then it gets back into the like sorrow again, and it keeps going round and round and round, and we're all going, that's just before my morning cup of tea, right? That's I can whack that out while I'm brushing my teeth. But That was a long-winded way of asking about emotion and how you photograph it, and like, are you as the viewers, like, I feel like the photographer's gift is to really see and to show us what we're seeing. I feel like that's what you all do brilliantly. And are you seeing that depth of emotion and that width of emotion?
Yeah, I think so. For me, I was off Instagram, other than iconic shots, my own account, I was off Instagram for about 5-6 years, roughly. And when I came back on in October to document the protest, I never used to write captions. I just used to put the dates, because part of me didn't want people to know my personality, and then part of me was just like, yeah, I'm just documenting. And then it got to the point of, this shit can't keep continuing. Like, and my rage was in my captions, and my emotion, that is what I was writing about in my captions through my pictures. And I think I've got now to the point of, I used to try and educate people through my photos, but captioning it, like, about, like, kind of educating people on Palestine and things like, why do we wear a kafir? What's the symbolism of a kafir? And stuff like that. I was trying to educate people, and then now it's got to the point of, I'm done. Like, I'm done educating people. Like, if you don't know what's going on, you're stupid. Like, plain and stupid. Like, it's just rage. And I'm done with the cute captions. I'm done. This is war. Like, literally. Like, yeah, but come on, we're 7 months in now. How can you be so, like, blind? And it's not, you're not even blind, you're just ignorant, and you're just ignoring what's going on in the world. And I think that's where my emotion kind of comes in. Like, I capture how I'm feeling sometimes.
That's interesting. Go on, say more
about
that.
So I capture how I'm feeling sometimes. Like, I think a few weeks back, there was a picture of a young Irish activist.
I love that picture.
That is one of my favourite pictures, I think, that I've posted. And the emotion, you could see through her eyes, like, and she's only young. She's a little kid, and that, for me, it was powerful in the sense of it gave me hope, because she's so young. But it also kind of showed my rage because of everything that's going on as well. But I think as weeks have gone on, my pictures have just got more and more angry in a way, and my captions are just more and more angry because, yeah, I'm done. I am done.
Just like savvy, like ruthless.
Yeah, I don't even care anymore, because in the sense of, you know, you can have all these cute captions, but what's it doing now? Nothing.
It really can be a strange one, anyway. I remember reading about a guy who was a photojournalist, who was out documenting war stuff, and he had his camera up, and he was, you know, going around taking all these pictures, and then there was he basically got taken off doing photography duty and returned back to being a soldier, and he said that he felt it so difficult to be in that environment suddenly without his camera, because he felt the camera was like a protective shield, that he always had that layer of separation between him and what was actually happening, and then he had to kind of go back into it, and he didn't have that layer of protection, and it really freaked him out. And I kind of get the same way at the protests. Obviously, you know, for us on our proper big DSLR cameras and whatever, like you guys, we're changing all our settings and whatever, and we're trying to make sure that everything's right. You know, that can take some of your brain power, but I think sometimes I've definitely had moments where I've kind of almost stopped doing stuff with the camera and just kind of like just put it to the side and just listened or looked at what's going on. Like, there's been some, like, when there's been moments of silence or whatever, and it's, you know, you get that feeling down the back of your throat, that emotion of a bunch of people all packed in together, and you kind of like, yes, I'm here to document it, but there's real emotional cloud here. But it's a really strange phenomenon. Like myself, when I got into photography, I got behind the camera because I didn't like being in front of the camera, so that was my shield. So when I'm reading these sort of stories, and I can see Rachel, were you the same?
You know that.
Yeah.
You lot.
Yeah, Rachel is the most tricky people to photograph ever.
Rachel hates the camera. Like, she loves taking pictures, but I've got two fingers up right now. You can't see me, but this is what Rachel does in the protest. She'll just hide behind her two fingers. And then, Rachel, I can spot your head away, like a mile away.
It's hard to hide.
She's always hiding.
You smile for the picture.
Yeah, he always smiles.
I stick my tongue out. It's funny.
I tried to get a revenge shot of her, and it turned out to be well.
You got a nice one of me. I was like, ooh, send it to me. Because with me, it's always my double chins I get in my pictures, and I'm like, not today. Like, I want nice side profiles. Get a nice one of me.
I love that. I don't know when it was, a few months ago. We should also give honourable shout-outs to Shane and Mike and
Hassan.
They couldn't be here today, but that this is not a complete team. But when I saw a photo of you, like a few of you together, and like, usually you're like being little spidey people and like climbing up stuff. And then I thought, oh, they've made friends.
You see people's work on Instagram and whatever, and you're like, who the hell's that? Like, you know, like,
do you feel a bit of a challenge, or do you learn from each other? Like, what tips and techniques have you picked up over the months?
Tell him your thing.
She's pointing at me because she's trying to learn me manual.
Rachel has a really good creative eye, right? She found this, there's that one specific shot in between the buses, and it just looks crazy. I remember I saw your picture a few weeks ago, and I'm like, why did I never see that?
Yeah, but I learned from you guys.
Nah, that was all you.
No, honestly.
I took your shot. I was like, I'm taking this shot.
If you look at my pictures that's from before, shot.
Like, that one picture, I was like,
yeah, but if you look at my pictures from before, it's mainly faces and things like that, which I'm like, you tell me I'd go for emotion, I don't go. Mm. But then, like, with you guys, a little creativity spark, and I'm like, oh, that's a good angle for a bus window. It was you with the bus window first, I think.
Was it?
Was it?
I wasn't there for that.
It was me and you that stood at the window, like, snapping through.
Yeah, because I didn't even know that. It was me.
I think it was you.
It was her, yeah, because... Yeah,
so I started following. Get from you guys, really.
What else have you learned
from each other and from this experience?
I think every photographer's got that sensation where you look at a shot that someone's got. I still get it with Mike's images when he's got these. When he puts these images up, I'm like, how are you doing this every week? I'm stood about 3 foot away from where you were stood, and you're getting this. But it's like with the images, you're always trying to you always pick up stuff like, ooh, this person used a longer focal length, you know, on the lenses, so maybe that got this specific effect that I really like, or when someone's shooting on a wide angle or whatever, you know, you pick up that, or people approach things from a different height. Like, I know a bunch of you guys... a bunch of you guys and Shane, where you love climbing stuff.
It's the sisters and Shane.
Just, we call Shane the meerkat just because he's always
Spider-Man.
Is he changed to Spider-Man?
Spider business.
But no, literally, just people's creativity inspires you to be more creative. And, you know, sometimes when I'm like, oh, do I really want to, you know, can I be bothered to go out? You know, it's like you were saying earlier, it becomes that cycle of there being so much stuff going on constantly, and it seems to be ramping up more and more. But when you see people's images and you go, this is something cool, I'd love to try what they've done, it can be that extra little kick to get you out of bed in the morning to actually go out and do something and try new stuff.
It actually inspires you to take pictures because you're doing it for a good cause.
Yeah.
So you're like, let me actually go make a difference because I have this talent, let me use this one skill that I have to actually like make an impact. No matter how small it is, if someone sees it, they'll know something's going on. There was this one Palestinian guy that turned up to the protest. He had no idea what was going on in Leeds because he's from Manchester. And then he ended up like speaking at the front of the protest because he was like, well, what's happening here? And then he fell on like, what was this? Because I wasn't there, so I don't actually know what his speech was about. But I knew he turned up and he spoke, and then he was there throughout the whole thing. So, like, what we're doing does make a difference because people don't always know what's going on.
His speech wasn't actually that long, but I think it was beautiful to see because he'd literally come to Leeds shopping with his friends. And then when he was asked to speak at the protest, I think he was proud. And that, I think, for us, it's a huge thing for a Palestinian to say that he's proud. He's not even from Leeds, but he's proud to, you know, speak at the protest and to see our community in Leeds. And I think big up to Leeds.
Yeah.
Leeds.
And looping back round to what you're learning from each other and how you've grown as artists, and I think that's also what movements need. They need to have people growing in themselves, and I've seen a huge amount of growth from so many people, even if it is that person who's like, I've never spoken in front of anyone before, never mind 1,000 people at a demo, and then the next thing you know, you can't shut them off, and they're like just doing the most amazing job, or like gosh, there's so many examples of just people getting involved in stuff who would be terrified to like stand outside Barclays and go and speak to people and ask them to change their bank accounts, and now they're like super confident with it and are like really happy to go and have a conversation.
I tried that. Couldn't do it. Could not do it. I was like, I'll stand with you guys, but I can't do it.
There's like a lady, for example, that I met, and she was telling me, she was like, oh, I'm not on social media. I've never really been involved with this. I've never like been to a protest like before the one that I was speaking to at. And then every single demo now I see her out and about. She's got a wonderful voice, and she's
we love
about.
Her. We love her.
The lady with the signs on the sticks.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Amazing. And then it just shows how powerful it is by the fact that I just started giving the most vaguest description ever, and every single person in the room knows who we're talking about.
Yeah.
But, you know, she was like, I didn't know I had this in me, and I think a lot of people are kind of having the same thing right now, and they're kind of realising, like you were saying about the rage and whatever, people are figuring stuff out about themselves by how they're responding to the current conflict and what's been going on.
Are there any specific photos that you think that tells a story? All the things we're talking about rage and grief and moments where someone has just gone, I need to be here. Anything that stands out that you're like, I mean, it's, you know, 6-7 months of them, so you must have huge hard drives full, but does anything spring to mind that you'd like to share?
I'll add to that question of going, I want you to know about what someone else's image that really springs to mind, rather than it's too difficult to choose one of your own, but if there's someone else's image that you're like...
Yeah, so one of my favourites of yours is from the Iftar event, and it's just a little boy just stood up in the middle of everyone praying, and I don't know what it is about it, and it's like one of my favourite photos. Like, in existence, not just by you, like, in existence. Like, I don't know what it was about it, there was just something about it.
This is my favourite one of yours. It's the watermelon one through the bus windows. Watermelon, yeah, I think it was a watermelon march, wasn't it?
Shout out to you guys.
You guys are like, honestly, rate you guys. This one, because I couldn't make it, obviously, because life. I was like, Rachel, I'm there in spirit. Like, I can't believe you. That shot is amazing. She was like, stop it. And I'm like, no, keep doing it.
For people who can't see it.
It's a picture through, like, the bus windows. And it's like the protest walking through. What road was this?
I think it was on the hedgerow. So all the buses had to stop. And it made everyone get off the bus. And I don't know what made me take it. I just saw the glass through the other side because I was trying to catch up because I'd stayed back a bit. Mm. And then when I saw all, like, because of it being the watermelon-themed march, and I don't know what made me take it. I just took it. And, yeah, I don't know.
I love it. I love that of yours, and yours is the little kid with the Irish flag, the one that you're on about with the rage.
I know what you mean
that.
Now.
Love that shot. I'm like, I feel her rage. Like, I might not show it, but I feel it.
Yeah,
you're more rageful than me.
I just like started scrolling. You know, I'm sure we'll all be the same. Where we've got so many photos in our brain that trying to narrow stuff down, like you end up taking hundreds and hundreds of pictures, and with 3 or 4 demos a week, there's so much stuff going on. But there was one that I've just been like scrolling through my phone trying to find that Mike took at one of the protests. I think it was when they were walking down the hedgerow, and I think they were protesting against Starbucks. But it just like...
Oh, sick.
It just captured this one girl basically kind of being moved on by the police as she's just shouting with absolute rage towards Starbucks as part of, obviously, the boycott movement. And she's just... She's literally the emotion. You can see it in like her entire body with like how she's reacting, and it's photos like that capture the moment. And like I was saying earlier about capturing the mood of the whole particular, that little bit of the protest, it kind of sums it up so neatly within a little square frame on our mobile phones.
So yours, for me, is when you do your videos.
Mm.
Because I don't video anything. when you take photos, you do kind of block things out because you're just taking photos. But when you post your videos, I'm like, here we go again.
It's time.
So let's talk a little bit more about videography and also who is creating for specifically for Instagram or specifically for a medium, that like a different platform. Do you have that in mind, or are you trying to, you know, if you're creating for a news journal, that might be different again, or you know, have you got an art gallery in mind and you're like, this one, it needs to be like 6 feet long, you know?
Because Instagram is pretty much the main platform that everyone goes to, I specifically make my reels for Instagram in that in that long format, which is the TikTok, Instagram. So yeah, I specifically film for Instagram just because it's easier to know the settings and everything, and like you sort of know your target audience because it's just out there. And when it comes to filming, I don't really necessarily have a plan of what I'm going to shoot. It's based on when I'm there. If I see something that I find captivating, I'll shoot it. Sometimes I'm experimenting with, like, so I discovered SQ settings, which is like where you where you change the frame rate and it you can do the filming in slow motion. So that has been a lifesaver because, like, now I just kind of jump to slow motion in a lot of my footage, and it really helps grasp the emotions in people and the sort of environment.
I've been trying to teach Rachel manual for the past 3 weeks. What does she do? She puts on automatic every single time.
Oh, come on, man.
I stand next to her. I'm like, manual. No. No. I'm like, really?
I have no technique. I have no knowledge of cameras at all.
We were in, you know, during the occupation at Leeds Uni. I was like, all right, we've got time to kill. We're occupying the place. Let me teach you how to use your camera. I taught her the main three, the aperture, the ISO, and the shutter speed. The three things you need to know. She was like, click, 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 automatic. I was like, you're actually rude. I spent 2 hours teaching you, and this is how you repay me. And I just walked away, and I came back. Like,
I'll try this weekend. I don't
believe
I promise.
You. I don't believe you.
I'm going to take the high road on this and kind of go the other way and say that, you know, with how smartphone cameras is, the barrier to entry for photography has never been so low. So if you want to get out there and start creating stuff, and if you want to start making stuff, you know, you can start with your phone. You don't have to buy a camera or whatever. You know, just go out and start creating. And as I say, the barrier to entry has never been so low with that. So go out and be creative.
The phones are pretty good. Like, yes. The smartphones are literally really good. Like, I take a lot of my videos on my iPhone as well. Like, my 3x zoom. Amazing shot. So you don't need a camera. Get a phone. Sorted.
I would say, though, never say to a photographer,
yeah,
your camera takes good photos.
Oh, no. Don't.
Just never. Never. Triggered. It's just, triggered. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's basically you're basically disregarding their skills
you,
and
what
yeah.
Saying.
So
like,
it's like a red
just don't
flag,
do that.
Like a red flag to a bull, isn't it? As I say, you can give someone who's never taken a picture in their life a really expensive camera, and they can still take bad pictures. Or if you like go on YouTube, you can find like the one of the award-winning photojournalists taking pictures on like a Lego camera, and these pictures could go in like a gallery. You know, it's a mixture of. Yes, kit helps, but it's, you know, the skill and the experience of knowing what to do and what how to like you say about the slow and quick settings and whatever, yeah. You know, about how to utilize that to get a result, and that'll all come with experience. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even if you don't feel like you're the finished product yet, just keep shooting.
You got this.
You got this, Rachel.
Thanks.
Well, it's time to say goodbye to our lovely crew of photographers. Thank you so much. We're going to put all their handles of Instagramming in the show description. So check them out, follow them, see their amazing photos. We'll also put the photographers that we've mentioned as well. Shout out to them. But you can also see them IRL at a demonstration in Leeds and see these fantastic photographs in real life. And maybe you, dear listener, we'll have your photograph taken as you raise your fist into the air and demand a free, free Palestine.
Free Palestine.